Go.
Good evening. Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead.
Go.
Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this segment of K-Ask Radio. Love, forgiveness, and second chances. We had some technical difficulties last night, but, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. It hasn't deterred me, hasn't deterred us, and I'm just grateful. I just want to thank God tonight as we go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we bless your name, God. And Father, we come, Lord God, together to partake of the bread of life. And Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus, Lord God, and let it not be me, Father, but let your words flow. Speak to us on tonight in a great and mighty way. Father, I pray for the spirit of revelation to come, Lord God, as you're ministering to my heart, Father, so minister to the hearts of your people. Holy Spirit, come. This is your time. This is your words. Father, I pray that you prepare the hearts, oh God, of each and every one of us, including me, Lord God, to receive what it is you have to say. Now, thank you, Father, for watching over us and keeping us, Lord God. I thank you for your divine protection. And, oh God, I thank you that you love us so much, that you sent your Son, Lord, for us, the church, the body of Christ, your bride, your children. Cover the earth with your glory, Lord, as we look to you with the eyes of faith. Thank you, God, once again, for another opportunity, another chance to break bread with your family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I am so honored, as always, to come before you. This has been a strange kind of day. Different, I would say, because for my husband had a doctor's appointment. He had a mild stroke before the beginning of the year, and God is just good. And all I wanted to do was just spend time with him, but he put me to sleep. I slept. So I feel strength in my body on tonight. I'm grateful for what he's saying. My head is clear. My heart is hungry and longing for more, God. Just to touch base a little bit and bring us, remind us of the stepping stones that God has been ministering to us the last few weeks. Look like. What does he look like? It's the face of love that was wounded, that was bruised, that was unrecognizable, taking on stripes and beatings and persecution for us, that he might bear our sins upon his shoulders, and in exchange for our sins, he gave us the right to the tree of life. And he calls us his sons, his daughters. And better yet, he calls us his friends. It's so awesome, man, then fearful, to even imagine that the Most Holy One wants and desires us when we were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. And so he said that the world will recognize us by our love. And it's not really our love, it's the love that he puts in us. As we journey and take this walk with him in the realm of this earth, that we can become his sons and his daughters. And then we talk about how we should never lose our hunger and thirst for God, because those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So we hunger for his presence. For in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And then on the last time we gathered, I know he was leading me into looking into, okay, now what does the church look like? The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him and wanted to know the times. And Jesus responded to him, to them, and he said, you can look at the sky and determine the weather, but you cannot discern the times, the signs of the times. Only a wicked and perverse generation will look for signs. Asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? Peter say, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're the prophet Elijah. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Spirit of God revealed that. And upon this rock, upon this revelation, the church shall be built, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church reminds us that the church is not built with brick and mortar. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church. And we who are followers after him, who have accepted him, who have been engrafted into his family, are the lively stones. And it's built on the foundation of the Spirit. The place where we gather and where we worship together and where we hear the word together, that is not the church. The church, the people. Jesus' purpose was not to build buildings, but to establish his kingdom in the earth. I say this prayer quite often when I'm praying for leadership and government, and I pray that scripture that says that the heart of the king is in his hand. But I want to look at that a little bit closer tonight. And I'm going to really try to take my time with this, because I don't want to miss any of the revelation that God is bringing forth in this hour. I believe that God is opening our ears so that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, the embodiment of the church. And I'm looking at Psalms 21 and 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong book. But that was a good one. When you get a chance, view Psalms 21 and 1. I wanted to go to Proverbs 21 and 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the river of water, he turned it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Going back, just to reiterate what I said, is that he came to establish a kingdom. And so I'm going to look into Isaiah. And this is familiar scripture to many of you. And it's Isaiah 9 and 6. And the prophet Isaiah speaks and says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So the prophet Isaiah was speaking into the future of the king coming, born as a child, but given as a son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." We're talking about the church that he's coming back for, a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. The reason why I call it the church, because the scriptures may address it as the church, but it's not a church that's built with hands. It's built by the Spirit of the living God. Where is his kingdom? Where is Christ establishing his kingdom? The kingdom of God is within us by the Spirit of God. He's establishing us as his church, as his kingdom. I'm going to go over to 1 John 3 and 2. And I really thank God, because last night when we couldn't get on the line, I was really ministering the word that I had. But I found out today that it really wasn't the word that he had. I hadn't gotten the revelation of where he was going and what he wanted to say. So I'm glad for the mishap, because now I'm hungry. I'm hungry for his truth. I'm hungry to know exactly where he's taking us and what is he doing in this hour. We must discern the signs of the time, because he's coming back and we have to be ready. To show you how fresh this is, I usually have my scriptures written out. First John chapter 3, starting with verse 2. Well, no, I'm going to start with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he appears, we shall be like him. We're not just talking about the man that was slain and crucified. We're talking about the king, the one whose government is upon his shoulders. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Looking at Luke 17. Verses 21, he says, neither shall they say, lo here. Let me go back to 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Let's really grasp hold to that. Because the scripture says that when he appears, we shall be like him. And he tells us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so when the scripture says that he holds the hearts of his kings in his hands, he's not talking about the people or the men that men raise up. Catch this. He's talking about the ones who belong to him. Oh, my God. We are the king, and we are the priesthood, holy people,
royalty, his sons, his daughters. And we bear his marks. Remember, what does the face of love of Christ look like? The world may not recognize who we are, but we bear the scars. We bear the marks. We've gone through some troubled times and some situations. We've been bruised. For the sake of the gospel of Christ, all authority has been given unto him. And he's given us instructions to go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? John the Baptist is the voice crying in the wilderness, telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is joy, it's peace, it's righteousness. The kingdom of God has a king sitting on the throne, and his name is Jesus. A child shall be born, a son shall be given. And he said that he will reveal his secrets to his prophets, and they shall declare his works. They shall speak what he speak. Lord, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We're spiritual beings. Clothed in flesh. But he tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wants us to know that we're the king, we're the priest, we're the royal priesthood. Built up to a holy God. Everything he created was for his pleasure. He's in charge. He knows exactly where we are. And he's perfecting those things in us which concerned him. Next time when you're feeling bad or feeling hurt or feeling lonely, look up who you are. We are his feet and his hands in the earth. When the king declares a thing, everything else has to come in order. Jesus carried with him three anointings. The kingly anointing, a priestly anointing, a prophetic anointing. And the anointing that rests upon our lives, his anointing, resides upon his children. We carry his DNA because he dwells on the inside of us by his Spirit. He wants us to know him and know who we are, because his army that is walking upon this land, we're not common, we're peculiar. Know what's on the inside of you and walk in it. Come from amongst them and be ye separate. Be a king. Walk in, put on your holy garments of the priesthood and follow after him. That was just to get us to the place where we take a look at the church. And I might have to save this for next week because we have a menu. But I want to read this to prepare us to take a look. And when he speaks to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that read, and he that hears, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear that? And he made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in this isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And he turned, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou saw are the seven churches. The angels. The ministers who are over. Let me give this to you the way he gave it to me. His sons, those who are called by his name to a people, intertwine in this. Because we do have buildings where we gather. And he's appointed shepherds. He's given gifts to his body, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers. I'm missing one. Apostles, prophets, preachers, evangelists, and teachers. He's given those gifts to his body to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What is the core of the work of the ministry? To compel men to, when I say men, humanity, to come into the kingdom of God that's foundation is the Spirit of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that his kingdom might be built on the earth. where the government is upon the shoulders of Christ to bring others into the family. It's not God's desire that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of his Son. Christ's mission was we were lost. Our theology was lost. Our religion was lost. Our thoughts was lost. Our ways were lost. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the law, the words of the law. But he didn't come. He came to fulfill the law, that he might have our heart. The seed of love, because God is love. We're imparted with something that we must recognize and hold on to every day and express, because we are now the expression of his love. I can say we make mistakes, but we make those mistakes in the flesh. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And every day he washes us, and he cleanses us, and he perfects us by his word. He spoke in parables so that the world couldn't understand. But his intention was never that we didn't understand. Any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he shall give it to him. He will open up our minds to understanding, and our hearts will be drawn unto him. So for the sake of time, I'm going to pause here, and we're going to go further next week, beginning with how he's speaking to the churches in the book of Revelation, because there's a message, revelation, that I believe he wants to speak to us now. Because guess what, y'all? The king is coming. When we look at the signs of the times, he wants us to discern the signs of the times and know that he's on his way back. I know we've been saying and hearing that for years. No man knows the hour or the day. Only his Father knows. And he tells us to work while it's day, because the night is sure to come. We don't have to get ready. We need to stay ready, because we never know when that trumpet will sound and he breaks through those clouds where he said every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Many in that day. They're going to know and they're going to believe because of what they see. And it just might be too late, because all of us have to stand before him at his judgment seat. Gracious Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for opening us up, Lord, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I pray, Lord God, that the nuggets that you have dropped within us, Lord God, that we will think upon it, that we will ponder it, Lord God, that we will come before you, Lord God, to open us up even more to hear and to see and to understand as you are revealing things to us. May we recognize the signs of the time and be in your divine order and your divine will. Our government is not of this land, because our government is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. We are just traveling through a place called Earth. But our home is in you. You said in your word, Christ, that if we abide in you, you will abide in us. That you are the vine and we are the branches. And we want to stay connected to you, because we know that if a branch is broken off the tree, it cannot survive. We want to stick like glue to you, Jesus. And as you prayed to your Father that we may be one, just as you and the Father are one, let that prayer ring in our hearts on tonight, that we will be one with you, one with the Father, and one with each other. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you. We bless you. We lift your name on high. And we look with the eyes of faith, and our hearts beat with the passion of love for you. If there's anything, oh God, within us that's drawn to the world and not to you, God, perfect those things in us which concerns you, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we bless your holy and righteous name. We draw to you, Lord. Keep us in the center of your will, that we may see you face to face, and let us not take our eyes off of you. I give you the glory, I give you the honor, and I give you the praise in the name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. The lines are open.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight is a night that we just give God the glory. and we praise his holy name. And so we're just going to take another take 10 minutes. Anybody got anything want to say? Because after that, we're going to bring on Mother Bobby. Mother Bobby has something to say. But I want to thank the Lord for what Sister Valerie has done tonight. And we're just going to believe that KSK radio station can reach out and touch the untouched and bring those that into the darkness to the light. And as we said by Brother Gregory, something you cannot reveal cannot be dealt with. So we just going to get the lines open right now. And then after that, I'm going to bring Mother Bobby on. God bless you. The line's open.
Hello, Sister Valerie. Sister Harris, you hear me?
Yes, hello? Sir. I was just on mute. I hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for another great job. You're a good teacher. And we need teaching like you're doing, righteous teaching, not that false junk. You're coming straight out of the Bible with it. Straight out of the Bible. Not, you're not putting in what Sister Harris want to put in you, but what thus saith the Lord. And that's the main thing this, the United States need to hear is what thus saith the Lord. Because we done went the way of the flesh as a whole nation, as a whole. We done went the way of the flesh. You brought up a point tonight about he's coming back for a spotless, a sinless church. Now, being born of the flesh, we can't be that way by ourselves. But if we invite Jesus into our lives, if we confess and repent and invite him to our life, and if we're willing to accept his government, his kingdom, if he knows when you're sincere about it, he'll come in like that fire that was Moses when he went to the mountain. The bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. The fire will enter your body and cleanse you of all that unrighteousness. But it won't consume your body. It'll just get rid of all the unrighteousness in it. But Jesus can dwell within you because you can't stand before sin. You can't live in sin. You got to be clean first. Let him do the cleaning. Then he can come and live in us. You did a great job tonight. Great job again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I agree with the gentleman, Sister Valerie. Great teaching as always, and truly from the heart, very passionate teaching. So thank you for your ministry tonight. I agree with everything he said. Great word. May God bless you and Dr. Hunter too. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? If nobody else has something to say, we're going to ask Mother Bobby. Mother Bobby, are you there?
Yes, I am. Dr. Hunter, I'm here.
All right, your turn. Your turn.
Amen. How long do I have, Dr. Hunter? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we thank God for the word that was brought forth by Sister Valerie. We praise God that we know that we are the church. God called us to do a great work. There's much work needed because he told us that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And that's what's going on today, wars and rumors of wars. And our sisters, our brothers, our neighbors, our friend life. My concern tonight is younger generations that are destroying one another. I have a compassion for those young men and women that are on their way to a devilish hell. And many of them are our children, our friends, our loved ones, our sisters and brothers, children that walk around, young ladies and young men with your sons and your daughters, and they're all doing what they want, and they're destroying one another. But my compassion tonight is to reach out on KASK tonight to reach some souls. We're soul winners for Christ, to win souls for Christ, fruits for Christ, that our fruit should remain, so whatever we ask the Father in his name, he may give it to us. But I have a question tonight. A lot of them out there don't know which direction to take. And they have a question back into their mind. How can I be saved? We're doing whatever we want to do. We've done it. We kill, we destroy, we drink, we fornicate, we do whatever. Doing whatever we please. And God is not well pleased. On my way to heaven anyhow, and my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my neighbors around are dying and are taking the life for one another. And the question is, how can I be saved? But the yet profound question is the most important question that can be asked. How can I be saved? But it deals with where you will spend eternity after our lives are taken. Many of them are on their way to hell anyhow with no God on our side. I remember that day I was on my way to hell with no God on my side. I didn't need him, didn't know why should I serve him. What is my purpose in serving God? What is he doing for me? What have he done for me? Many of them have been hurt in the body of Christ, in the church building. They have been scarred. Many of them refuses to go back to the house of God. That ought not be. But this is no more important issues than our eternal destiny. The Bible is abundantly clear to us how a person can be saved. The Philippian jailers asked the question, as Paul and Silas, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" That's Acts 16 and 30. But Paul and Silas responded, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved." But in other words, you say that, but how can I be saved? Why do I need to be saved? Because we are all infected with sin. We are all born with sin. And we all personally choose to sin. Sin is what makes us unsaved. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what has us on the path of eternal destruction. This is what's going on today. We need to tell them, as Paul and Silas said, at midnight they prayed. All of the prison doors come open. There are so many that are in prison yet walking around. There are so many locked up, our boys, young men and young women, older men and older women are locked up in prison because of one mistake. And some of them are not guilty of the things that they have done. But I know that Sister Valerie has a prison ministry. But there are so many others that have a prison ministry to bless the peoples of God. but they still want to know, how can I be saved? What do I need to be saved from? I'm doing all right just as I am. But because of our sins, we all deserve death. Romans 6:23. While the physical consequences of sin, it's a physical death that is not the only kind of death that results from sin, because all sin is untimely committed against an eternal and an infinite God. But because of that, the just penalty for our sins is also eternal infinity. What we need to be saved from is eternal destruction. But again, how can we be saved? How did God provide salvation? He provided salvation because the just penalty for sins is infinity. Eternal God. Only God could pay the penalty, because only He is entity. He's everlasting, He's eternal. But God is His divine nature. He could not die. So God became a human being in the presence of Jesus Christ. He took on humanity flesh. And He also lived among us. But today, men still doesn't believe that Jesus walked down here on this earth. They all want to deny Jesus, and they want to go to the Father. But you cannot get to the Father. You must, and you've got to go through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because the Son doesn't do anything without the Father's permission. But when the people rejected Him and they reject His message and they sought to kill Him, He willingly sacrificed Himself. He allowed Himself to be crucified, John 10:15. But because Jesus Christ was human, He could die. And because Jesus Christ was God, His death had an eternal and an infinite value. Jesus' death on the cross, it was the perfect and the complete payment. He paid a price for every one of us. Not for me, not for you, but for every one of us. He paid the complete payment for our sins. In John 2:2, He took the consequences. He deserved Jesus' resurrection from the dead, demonstrated that His death was indeed, it was the perfect sufficient sacrifices for our sins. What do I need to do to be saved? But believing in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. God had already done all of the work. All you must do is receive in faith the salvation God offers in Ephesians 2:8-9. Fully trust in God alone as the payment for your sins. Believe in Him and you will not perish. John 3:16, so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God is offering you salvation as a gift. All you have to do is accept it. Jesus is the way of salvation. Have you in faith received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because of what you heard, or what you believe in your heart. Open up your heart, because He searches the heart. He already knows what's in your heart. He knows it's not right. Let Him, and He will search your heart and your mind, and He will clean you up, and He will fix you up, He will prepare you and give you everything that you need. Amen. To be the child of God. So come back to your first love. You left. Come back to your first love. But we all have to pay a price. We all must stand before our Father. He is the righteous judge. You cannot go on mother's prayer. You cannot go on grandmother's prayer. Once you get in your older age, you must go to him as your personal savior, because you have a work for you to do. God doesn't have bench members. God has soldiers to dress up and to prepare and to go out and to bless his people. But God cannot use anyone, even at your lowest point. God can use you because he sees the best in you. You say, well, God can't use me. I've done this, I've done that. I'm not worthy to do it. God said, I will wash you, cleanse you, purify you, set you up, and give you a job, not because you was the greatest, but I called and I chose you because you were the least of them. Because Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temple. David had an affair. Noah was a drunkard. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a warrior. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Mary Magdalene was hooked. Moses was a studier. Zacharias was short. Abraham was old, and Lazarus was dead. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualified the called. Report. If you know, you're not perfect, but God has a plan for your life. Do not let anything get in your way from choosing God, choosing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior Jesus. Today, yesterday is gone. Today is here. Tomorrow may be too late. Come back to your first love. He's waiting patiently on you. He's not going to hit you upside of the head. He's not going to destroy you. God loves you that much. Whatever you have to do is repent, and that is to turn with a deeply sorrows. Talk to the Father. He already knows whether you mean it or you're playing. So don't have to ask anyone, did he accept it? Just wait on God, and he will deal with you personally. That's how much, and that's why we serve a true living God, is to do the things that God called us to do. Even you're locked up in jail, he's still opening doors. If you're sick in your body, he's still healing today. If you're blind in your eyes, he's still open blind eyes. Because we have the Holy Spirit inside of each and every one of us to wake it up, to go on and speak about your Father's business. This is how much he loved you. So don't say you can't and you're not worthy. Because all these men and women, what they have been, have done, don't think I'm worthy. Everybody that you hear has been once upon a time a liar, stealer, murderer, one thing or another. God will not cast you out. He will receive you. That's how much God loves you. So what you do today, just take a second and remind the enemy, hey, I'm leaving you. I'm going back to my first love. But I don't need you to rejoice just yet. Don't throw your party just yet. When I fall down, but not if I fall down, when I fall down, I will arise again. Thank you. God bless you. We love you. And those that are seeking to know him personally for yourself, I beg of you today to come to Christ. He's waiting patiently on you. This is not a microwave time. It's not microwave. I know the younger generation is microwave this, microwave that, microwave in a can, microwave in the freezer. That is not good. Take care of your temple. You are the temple of God. You defile the temple. God says he will destroy you. Not man will destroy you, but God said, I will destroy you. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Because he said, when he called you, there are some problems maybe in your life, but it is for the glory of God. And it can be because of your unconfessed sins. Or it could be the violation of God's natural law. Know ye not that ye are, 1 Corinthians 3:16-18. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Holy, holy God. And you know Paul prayed. He wanted God to heal him and to do things he needed done. And God told him, no, you pray 3 times, Saul, and I'm not going to heal you. But he said, one thing for sure, I want you to know, that my grace is sufficient for you. So you receive my grace. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which Amen. Ye have of God, and ye have not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen, amen, amen. May God bless you. I pray that you come on to Christ. Open up your heart and let him in. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. The line is open. I'm going to open it for a few minutes, but I want to say one thing. Can you hear me?
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want everybody to know it's been a night that God has been glorified. And I want to
Amen.
Thank God. I want to thank God for Sister Teacher Valerie. I want to thank
Amen.
God for Mother Bobby and this man tonight. He came on. Mr. Sims, he's going to be on a Wednesday. And I will tell everybody out there listening around the world, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to have the same thing. But we're going to give each one. Valerie's going to be on Monday. On Tuesday, it's going to be another person. And it's going to Wednesday, going to be Mother Bobby and the young man. I'm going to give that time so that they can do what God has called them to do. Mother Bobby is doing a great work. This young man, the soldier, see, his name is Mr. Sims, Soldier the Soldier. And he's reaching the soldiers out there being around the world. And so I want to thank God tonight just to give everybody an opportunity to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Has anybody heard of that young man by the name of Gregory? Is Gregory or you? Gregory?
Amen. Gregory. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, maybe Veteran took a vacation, so I can understand. But I want to let you know, we're in concert with him and what God is doing through him. But I want everybody to know, I'm just so enjoyed. And when I got the person to come on and say, this is what's going wrong, this is what's going wrong. But I want to thank God tonight. So I'm going to give the last word to brother, and then we're going to close. We got 19 minutes left. So I want everybody to know, Mother Bobby.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for what you're doing in God and the way God is doing to you. And I don't want to tell everybody your age, but you sound like you're 26 years old teaching like that.
My God. Praise God. Thank
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And so tonight's the night. We just thank God. And everything we're praying about, God is doing it for us right now. But I'm just going to yield right now to Brother Charles. Can you have a few words just to say for about 5 minutes and we're going to close it out tonight? Amen.
Yes, sir. I do. Brother Man, do you know I told somebody about you? I tell everybody I meet about you. And I tell them about your anointing that you got. And I don't listen to your show every night since you invited me on. And Sister Valerie and Brother and Sister Bobby, I know they're anointed too because I get the same feeling from their teachers that I get from you when I'm around you, when I hear your voice. Now, there's something I need y'all to do for me. I need y'all to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
I go under the knife Thursday. They're taking out my left knee Thursday, and they're going to give me a new knee. And I want y'all to do this for me. If this is the way, if I close my eyes up and don't wake up at the hospital, when I wake up in glory, if that's the way God go, take me home, that's going to be my getting up, getting out of here, way to get out of this thing, so be it. But I'm asking y'all, if that's my last time talking with you, remember me as somebody that had a zest, a zeal, a glory for God. I'm not a perfect man, don't want to be perfect, because I look at my brothers and sisters wrong if I was too perfect. But I know he that lives within me is perfect. And just remember me this way, please. Tell people about me, please. I want to be remembered.
Amen.
I want to be remembered as a man that wasn't as good as you thought he was.
Amen.
But he wasn't half as bad as most people think about it.
Amen.
And he had a love for God that only Christ could do. Christ to see it. I love my God. I love peace.
Yes.
I love the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And having dead, dead. I'm just a big water head like Jeremiah. He said in his book of Jeremiah, he said if my head was water,
yes,
I cried rivers. And I cry all the time. And a guy caught me crying under that hospital. He said, man, you weak. I said, you know what? If I'm weak, Jesus was weak. I said, I cry for the condition this world is in, the condition that you is in for telling me that. I said, Jesus was the epitome of masculinity. And tears rolled down his cheek quite often in the Bible, they say. So I'm in good company if I'm a weak man. So just remember me if I don't wake up after surgery Thursday. Please do. Somebody got to remember me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. My brother,
yes,
my brother,
sir.
I pray that the will of the Father be done in your life in the mighty precious name of Jesus, that you will rise again because there is much work you need to be doing. There is much work for you to do, even from your bedside. I can tell you that because I work from my bedside. Yes, I
thank
felt
you,
embarrassed when I started, when God told me I wasn't sure. I said, Lord, are you sure? I look mighty crazy laying in my bed, laying my hands on the people that are around us standing up and asked me, needed help, they needed prayer for their backs or whatever. And I kept it up, and God rose me up out of the bed where I could use my legs. Oh, glory to God. Yes, amen and amen. Glory to God. Much blessing with you, my brother. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
But I want to correct you, Charles. You're supposed to be on tomorrow night, Charles. You're going at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, so you still have time to.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. But we know as
thank
we
you
all.
Much.
Amen. So we all on the I call us family, as they say, we be family, and by us being
we be family.
Yeah, you're a part of the family now. And I want you to get to know this man I call Gregory. Greg is a man that God had his hands on. God has used that man. And sometimes he's so busy until we have to slow him down with prayer. But I want to thank everybody tonight for being here. And tomorrow morning, if you get an opportunity, brothers, is anybody else on the line got something they want to say? Because tomorrow morning, go ahead and 8 o'clock of prayer. Anybody else?
Yes, I would like to tell my brother in Christ that you must live and not die. You are more than a conqueror. God got you covered with the blood. And we're going to bind negativities in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
God is your doctor.
Go ahead.
So when you go to that hospital, God is our doctor, and he don't make no mistakes. So you gonna rise again in the name of
thank
Jesus,
you.
My Lord and
thank
Savior.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want somebody that's not right near the spoke. Somebody that's on the line. Would you like to close us out? I see numbers on it. Anyone, would you like to close us out tonight? Would you like to close out with prayer this night? Somebody that's been on the line with us. Can you come and take us out in prayer? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done tonight and today, yesterday's and the days before. Father, we raise you up. We give you the glory, the praises belong to you. Now, Father God, you heard each and every one of us tonight. We ask, most gracious Father, that you would touch each and every one from the top of our head to the very sole of our feet, oh God, even in our families. We ask, most gracious Father, to let your will be done in our life today, God. Heal the sick, oh God. Raise the dead, God. You're still doing it today. Inquire our faith. Rise up and live. We thank you for this message. We thank you for Dr. Hunter. We thank you for Pastor Gregory. We thank you for all of the sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus. That we will all live again, and that we will rise up and see. Once again, we'll see you again tomorrow night on KASK radio station. Glory to God,
amen.
Dr. Hunter.
Amen. Go ahead.
It's up to you.
Amen.
Amen. What I tell you is that tonight just been a great night. It's just been a great night in the spirit. I learned so much. I took notes down. And see, me being behind the scene can see things from where I am right now. And I want to thank God. We to the whole world. And I tell everybody, let what I put you on Facebook, everybody see what you're doing. I put you on Twitter, everybody sees. But I want you to know, I love you so much. But God, through you, helped me to get better in my life. Was I made perfect? No, because I was not. And I want to thank God. I want to thank God. I met a lady. Her name, I call her Ruthie. And I thank God for her. Ruth is a woman I met the first time that I was able to speak to her. And when I felt the sincerity, the desirability of her, I knew who she was. She was a woman of God. She took the name. Her name And little did I know her name was called Sarah. I said, oh my God. Sarah. And see, one thing I've been talking with, but what I've been talking with my brother, and when I began to sit around when Sister Valerie mentioned all the churches in the book of Revelation, if you take notice, all those names is all in the Middle East. And it's a place for the Jews and the Gentiles to mm-hmm. I said, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. But you know what, though? And I want to thank God, like Brother Greg would say, he said, so good. He said, I got to sing my son, this little light of mine, I'm going to let
it go.
I'm not better than because I think what God is doing to all of us. And tonight as we close down, I will see you on the other side by the grace of God. Shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus. Thank you. You got another one, Brother Bobby? You got another one?
Oh, yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Jesus. Play another one, Mother Bobby.
All right. I got you, Tommy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, I got one more. Can you hear this one? Hear a little of this one. Is that young man still on with you?
No, ma'am.